So I was at a very momentous occasion last week, the Parliament of World Religions, the 130th anniversary in Chicago. It was amazing. 200 religions were represented from 80 countries. I couldn't even name 200 religions, I don't think, but I'm learning. And one of the most amazing experiences at the Parliament every time this happens, which is not every year, by the way, from 1893 to 1993 was 100 years before they did it again. And now it happens every, 2 to 5 years. So, but one of these things that happens is something called langar. Langar is the creation of a community kitchen where all people are fed for free. And it's put on by people of the Sikh religion. And it is the most beautiful experience. So the people who put on langar at this particular parliament all came from the UK to Chicago. They flew there and all their expenses were paid by them to come and serve us, save us, sacred service all week. They weren't at the workshops and the rituals and the dances and all that stuff. They were there to serve. Now talk about generosity and service and volunteering and a prosperity consciousness. That alone was so moving and so inspiring. So there I was on the first day in the outdoor tent that was set up for langar. And they had very much like our white tent out there, all these canopies that were connected to one another to make an enormous tent. So everybody can be ushered through, have their heads covered. The whole organization is amazing. Put your shoes away and come in and be ushered in to sit down and be served delicious food. And so I was sitting there with Denise Schellink. Some of you might remember Denise. She was our interim minister in 2016 here at this ministry, and some other friends. And Denise and I were sitting next to each other. And as we're eating and chatting, we noticed that as a Midwestern storm starts to take up and the rain is pouring down, there's a little lightning, a little thunder, the kind of storm that Brenly and I always talk about. Don't you miss a Midwestern storm? I got to be in it. And as we were sitting there, between those canopies started to come some water. And then kind of more like a waterfall. And so suddenly we were all up on our feet, and pretty soon we were all part of something. So here's what was happening. Is the water is coming in. You can see people are gathering around. There's Denise and I going, uh-oh, what's going on over there? And then what happened was really cool, what I call the Interfaith Bucket Brigade. We all lined up, and we started passing full buckets down from those leaks and then out of the tent and then empty buckets coming in. And it was such an amazing experience because it was exactly what we were there to do, right? To work together side by side with various religions to one purpose. Water is such a beautiful element of release, which is our power of the week, this week that we're talking about today. We've been working with the 12 powers of humankind, one of the key unity teachings. If you're familiar with the chakras, there's quite a bit of overlap. This idea is that we have these 12 power centers, that we have these places where we can unleash a sense of energy and a spiritual ability. And so once we get really versed in these powers and we learn the mechanics of what they are and where they are in our body and what they're symbolized by, we can begin to really use them and call upon the ones we need most in any given situation. So there's a lot of times we need the power of release. So this one is really, I feel like, an important one for us to understand. It's sometimes called the power of elimination. And that's to put the emphasis on the times we want to finally let this thing go, whatever it is, right? Whatever it is that isn't serving us, a belief system, a way of being, a habit, an interaction, a pattern of interaction with our beloved, whatever it may be that we want to once and for all, let's let this thing go. So when we call it the power of elimination, that helps us really ground that idea. Sometimes it's also called the power of renunciation. And that is when your no means no and your yes means yes, as Jesus said. And so getting really clear, right? When it's a no, when something is a no, when something is not okay in the world that is going on, we can say no to it with a great power. When something in our life, even if it's good, but it's too much, there's too many things that we have, that we're doing, that we're up to, and we realize, well, these two things are the things I really, really, really care about and have passion for. And these 15 things, while they're great, I need to say no to them. And so it's that ability to say no to what it is that we're being asked to commit to, maybe by others, so we can say yes to commit to what Spirit is asking us to do. And sometimes those two don't always line up, so we need to be clear within ourselves. So all of these shades are the shades of the power of release, renunciation, elimination, and release. So if you consider water, consider what a beautiful element that is to work with, because it's purifying, right? Water is cleansing, it's purifying, it carries things away, it flows. So we can use water in ritual to help us with this power. Now, I know when I say ritual, for some people you go, well, I don't really know what that means or how to create that, or don't I have to have a minister do that for me or be in a community where we do that? And yes, it's great to do ritual in community. And you can also do it individually and just incorporate into your day. In fact, we all have rituals all the time, routines in our lives all the time. We just don't always infuse them with spiritual intention. That's the only difference. And so if we use water that we use every day with this kind of intention and blessing, we can let go. As we're washing our hands, we can let go of whatever has come before that moment. Maybe we wash our hands as we come home after a long day of work or volunteering, serving. We just let go of everything that happened there. Or maybe we wash our face as we begin our day, just to sort of freshen, wash away all the dream time and the sleep or the lack of sleep, and just say, it's all good now. I'm being refreshed, I'm being renewed, I'm being ready for my day. I'm letting go of whatever it is I need to let go of. Maybe as we wash, we let go of criticism of our bodies. So many of us are so critical of our bodies, and we can just release those attitudes that say, I'm to this, I'm to that, and just allow Spirit to love us up as we release whatever it is that we need to release. So ritual is so powerful, and water is such a great element to use in conjunction with this power. And one of the things I was thinking about is how our prayer chaplains do this. We train our prayer chaplains when they go to a home, to a hospital visit, to stop in the bathroom on the way in and wash your hands in this very intentional way, to prepare yourself to be with that person, both from a health standpoint, but more, even more so from a spiritual standpoint, to let go of whatever has come before so you can be ready and open and in that kind of pure state to pray with somebody. And then as they're leaving that person's room and they go to stop again and wash their hands very intentionally in the bathroom, to let go of any residual worries, concerns, thoughts of illness, whatever it may be, energy, so that they can then leave in a refreshed way. So we can mock that ritual or employ that ritual in anything for ourselves in our days. And let's also consider, what happens, or why does it happen, when water comes to us uninvited? Right? Big, heavy rainstorms that cause flooding, or hurricanes, or mudslides, or a leaky pipe in your home. You know, these kinds of things are not invited, right? That's not the kind of way we want water to come in. But then metaphysically, it could be showing us something. It could be telling us something, right? I felt that way on that first day of the parliament. I felt like this is just happening so we can come together and be in the bucket brigade, because this is just fun. It's fun. It's fun, and it allowed us to give back to these people who were giving so much. I mean, I couldn't even find a place to make a donation after these people fed me 4 days in a row. And it was like, I had to chase down this guy and say, is there any way I could leave you a donation with you? He said, oh yeah, we can use it to buy more food if you'd like. But there was no place to put it. I had to find him. So it's that kind of thing, right? To be able to say, why is this happening? What is this seemingly unfortunate thing happening? Because there's usually a very rich gift in it for us. So do you know what the second largest religion was that was represented at the parliament? Hindus, a good guess? No. Buddhas? No. Both there, all there, but nope. Muslim? Nope. They were there, but nope. New thought, unity. That's us. Isn't that cool? So unity is the largest of the new thought sect, I guess you could say. Well, we're considered in the parliament, we're considered our own religion. I'm looking at Johanna. She was there. And then agape is one, Centers for Spiritual Living. There's a bunch of them. So agape is, if you know Reverend Michael Beckwith, is the one who founded that. And he and I met up in the hallway there and had a little conversation. And I was thanking him for his visioning process. I was also asking him if he'd come speak. More about that later. Hold that in prayer with me. But anyway, we were talking about his visioning process, and I said, you know, recently in my Walk the Talk class for the power of imagination, we used his visioning process and how much we appreciated that. And his visioning process has four steps. One is the vision that we call forth for our lives that we allow Spirit to reveal to us. One is what Spirit is asking us to embody, to bring forth that vision, what gifts we bring to it. And the last one is, what am I being asked to release? It's such an important step, right? So I'm curious for you what you might be blocking right now in order for your dream to manifest, whatever that may be. What belief or limiting idea might be standing in your way? Are you curious? Why don't we take a look inside for a moment? So I invite you to just drop into your heart and to call to mind a dream that you are holding for your life or your world. Just allow whatever comes first. Then once you have a sense of that dream, that vision that you're holding, let's ask Spirit, what are you asking me to release in order to manifest this dream? Spirit, show me what I need to release. And now see yourself releasing that very thing you've just been shown. And notice how you feel as you release it. Or notice how you respond if you're resistant to releasing it. Just invite you to go ahead and release it and feel the release. What is it like if you let go? You release this block or limitation. And when you're ready, come back into this space. See, once you release it, you've opened up the way for Spirit to bring forth the good, to help you co-create this vision, to bring it forth into your life. It's really that simple. We make the spiritual journey really complicated, and all it's about is letting go of what stands in the way. That's it. So that's why this power of release is so key. Did you know our Board of Trustees has a list of shared agreements that we speak at every meeting? And we were speaking them on Wednesday at this last meeting, and I was thinking about the the release statement, because I was thinking about this message this Sunday, and this is the statement that we make about release. I release feelings of blame, belief that I lack time, fear of doing things differently from the past, and attachment to specific outcomes. It's good stuff, right? That alone is good. And so as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, in our board and in our community, of course we have accountability. You know, as we look at the blame, I release feelings of blame. Of course we have accountability, because accountability is about integrity. It's about us taking responsibility, giving people an opportunity to, you know, own up to, oh, I made a mistake. I'm going to make a correction to that mistake. Very different than blame, right? Blame, on the other hand, assigns responsibility without any acceptance that humans do make mistakes sometimes. Blame lacks generosity. And generosity is something we always want to have with accountability, hand in hand. We have staff agreements, we say, every time we meet as well. And one of them is, I extend the most generous interpretations to others' actions and words. So just as Spirit would do for us, we extend forgiveness, compassion, kindness, understanding for ourselves as well as for others. Now, some of us are really good at giving it to others, not so good at giving it to ourselves, right? That's why I say that with such emphasis. And sometimes we blame others because we're not willing to take responsibility for the things that are happening in our lives and in our world. That's called victim consciousness. And when we live and dwell and have our being in victim consciousness, we create a very small, constricted container for our lives that's filled with lack and limitation and just small ideas about who we are and what we have the power to do. But instead, there is a way out, and that way out is to release blame. Release blame of self, release blame of others, release blame of the politicians and the leaders and the whatever it is that you blame, right? The media and so on, your spouse, your children, your parents. Just letting it all go and saying, you know, here I am. I am a child of the source of all beingness on the planet. I am birthed out of divine intelligence. I don't need to live in that small container anymore. I am that I am. I am made of divinity. I am made of love and light and peace. We all know these truths, theoretically at least. But stepping into it and feeling it and knowing it, there's no room for victim consciousness there. Because when we do that, we've stepped into our power. And when we step into our power, we take responsibility for our thoughts and our feelings and our words and our actions and our world. That's what this is all about. We move from victim, if you will, to victor consciousness. It's a very different place to stand and to move through life. And it's much more joyful and free and prosperous and whole. So here's another one we say at the board. I release belief that I lack time. That's a good one, right? Yes. Say it again. You want to say it with me? I release belief that I lack time. So time is a man-made construct, right? And it is helpful because it helps us operate a whole society, of course. But let's just remember that we created it so that things would work more smoothly. We're not supposed to be enslaved by it, you know, burdened by it, and constricted by it. So when we dwell in these beliefs, I lack time, or I lack money, or I lack skill, we basically are not only limiting ourselves, but we're limiting what our God can do for us, right? This is what I believe is possible, then what is possible and potential won't even come our way, because we won't let it in. And so that's what this is all about, is opening up that space. Reverend Karen from Unity of Seattle tells this story about a woman who had been divorced and had four children. I'm going to name her Doris, just because I like to give people names. And Doris had to work many hours a week at a department store in order to make ends meet. So you can imagine how much, you know, having four children and working and being on her own, how her time felt pretty short. And she had a longing to be in a relationship with someone. But immediately, as soon as she would feel that desire and that longing, there would be that sense of, oh, no way, is this possible, right? I have no time. This is never going to happen. Yet the desire still lived in her. So one morning before she went to work, she decided to pray. And her prayer went something like this: God, I am ready to have someone to love in my life and to love me. But you're going to have to make it happen. You're going to have to put that person right in front of me. And off she went to work. And as she was there in the department store, she noticed this man and his young daughter, and he was helping her pick out clothes, and they were laughing together. And she all of a sudden had this feeling overcome her, and she couldn't even stop the words, and she just blurted out, "You need to know that I have four children, and I'm busy all the time." And he said, "Well, I have two children, and I could make the time to spend time with you." They dated for 14 years until their children were old enough to leave the house, and then they got married, and Reverend Karen married them. And you know, when, at that moment, when they made this connection, she looked at her watch. It had been an hour since she had prayed. So as it turns out, at the bridal party, the daughter that came in with the dad told the story. She said, "You know, my dad had these business cards made up with his picture and his phone number on them because he had hoped that sometime he'd get a chance to talk to Doris." And she said, "We would go into that store a lot." So here's the thing. The man of her dreams was in front of her all the time, but she couldn't see him until the block was removed, until she gave it over in prayer into the realm of possibility that maybe, just maybe, it could happen. And even just that little window of light allowed it to manifest in her life. How about you? You've got something like that in your heart that you, as soon as you let it in, you go, "Oh, nope, could never happen." Let that belief go. Give it over in prayer. And watch the miracles happen. This is how this stuff works. It's exciting. I release the fear of doing things differently from the past. Now, that is a really big one right now in our world, I think, because in this, and I like to call it post-COVID time. I'm aware that some people are still getting COVID and it's still around. But what I mean is we've been released, right? We've been freed from that time of COVID when we were insular. And so now it's like, for a lot of us, there might be the inclination to go, "Oh, well, let's do it like we used to do it," you know? But the truth is, we are different. The world is different. I mean, there might be some good things to keep from our past, to stand on, to grow from those roots, but we need to evolve. We need to move forward. We need to meet today's needs, people's needs today, the ways that we have to honor the ways that we have changed. We all know this about life, that the only thing that stays the same is change, right? This is the way life is. So we might as well let go and enjoy the ride and stop clinging to the past. Stop clinging to the way we used to do it, or we've always done it that way. And sometimes that is the best way to continue, and sometimes it's not. So just to be willing to look, to be open-handed and open-hearted and open-minded about whatever it is that we are up to see what wants to come through. I'm really proud of the kind of board we have that does this, that is truly walks these and says, we're going to release the fear of doing things that we always did it that way or the way that we did it in the past. So it's that kind of thing of our willingness to let go of any clinging, right? And we are clingy beings, aren't we? I mean, Klingons. We like to... I mean, even if something's painful and uncomfortable, there we are, you know? Well, this is what I know. This is how, you know, it's the unknown that can be so scary for us. That's the bottom line of our fears. But yet it is in the unknown that the mystery of spirit lives and moves and has its being and calls us in and calls us up and invites us in. And so our willingness to dance in the mystery is what lights us up in life. And it's got to take first in a willingness to say, I don't have to do it the way I've always done it. I'm open. God, guide me. Spirit, show me the way. Allow me to move forward, to stay open, to let go of what's standing in my way, to drop the boulders I'm holding so I can receive the light and the love you wish to give me. That's what we're up to when we release. Jesus put it this way. He said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the wineskins and the wine will be lost. And so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. We are in a new era. We have a new life. Right now, in this moment, you are different than you were one moment ago. We are constantly spiritually evolving. More important than noticing the changes that happen out in the world all the time is noticing that the impetus of spirit is to become. To constantly become, to spiritually evolve. That's not meant to be an exhausting idea, by the way, because I know that can be, because we can think, oh, one more thing to do. I got to meditate more. I got to journal more. I got to go to more workshops. Got to read more books, you know? That's our so Western culture, right? It's like, do, do, do. But that's not what it's about. It's about as we be, we become. As we sit still, as we just allow more spaciousness and silence in our lives, as we notice the beauty of nature, as we are fully present in the conversations we have with others, that's where the magic happens. It's not about more. It's actually about letting go, releasing, allowing. Allow the magic and the miracle and the mystery and the mysticism to happen by letting go. Preaching myself. I always hope you get something out of it. But that wineskin, this idea that Jesus brought up, you know, it's we just recognize, right? You can't put new ideas into old mindsets. You can't put new results into old behaviors. We just need to stay open and to give room for spirit to move and live and have its being in us. The last of the Board of Trustees' release statement, anyway, is I release attachment to specific outcomes. This is a big one too, right? They're all, every one of them, we're all like, oh, yeah. So we have ideas, right? We have ideas about how we want things to go and how we want them to turn out. And sometimes we get a little bit like pretty sure we're right. Anybody? Anybody go there? Yeah, right? And so again, it's recognizing that others have ideas too. And when we share, we truly are better together. It happens every time. You've probably all witnessed that and experienced that. When we come together with a diversity of backgrounds, a diversity of ideas, a diversity of walks in life, we come with something richer to offer each other, to sit at the same table together, and to come together with hearts and minds and spirits open. Then there's nothing we can't do. That's true co-creation. And so a willingness to let go, to turn over, to open up, and of course to be open to Spirit's guidance always. Well, I want to tell you about one more experience I had at the Parliament, and I've saved the most powerful for last. And this was being blessed by Amma Karuna Mayi. Amma Karuna Mayi is a Indian, I would say, saint. I don't know if they call her a saint, but she is considered the embodiment of the Divine Mother, so I'm pretty sure that's saintly. She's a spiritual teacher. She's a vast humanitarian, all kinds of humanitarian projects that she does. And there she was at the Parliament giving individual blessings. She didn't care how long the line was, so I was in that line. And we had the instructions to hold in our heart what we wanted to have blessed. And then to just kneel in front of her, and then she would put her hand on your first eye and give you a blessing. And so I did this, and I was holding in my heart, I want a blessing on my divine purpose. And when she touched my first eye, the release was like everything just blew out of me that didn't need to be here anymore, that wasn't for my highest and best good. I mean, I almost, but I didn't want to break the connection. I almost want to turn around and say, hey, everybody, clear the space. You don't want any of that stuff. It was so powerful. It was so potent. It made me think of that Steve Steigman photo, the blown away guy that was used in a Maxell commercial in the 80s. Remember that guy? That's exactly how I felt. It was like, and everything was just gone. And there was just an openness. And I thought, well, that's, of course, because that's all there ever is to do, right? Is just to release whatever stands in the way of whatever it is that we wish, that we want to have, that we want to bring forward, that we want to experience, that we want to embody in our lives. So the divine is always blessing us. It's our work to just get out of the way. Whatever little self is in the way, let that get out of the way so that big self, that higher self, that truer self can shine. That's the power of release at work, exposing who you truly are so that you can be the magnificent being you have come here to be, and that we can create the magnificent world that we all hold in our hearts and in our minds. So let's speak this truth together, and I really want to encourage you to work this power this week through ritual, through water, through affirmation, release statements, whatever it is that you're called to do. Let's say it together. I release fear, lack, and blame, and freely receive prosperous goodness. And so it is.